We enjoy coming back here every year, and I'd like to thank the ladies for being such good friends to my wife and my daughter. That's a blessing that as we go into different churches, sometimes my wife and my daughters are, I don't want to say forgotten, but, you know, we travel many thousand miles a year, and I know that's hard on them, but they have submitted to the Lord and have followed what God has called us to do. And so thank you for being such good friends to my family. That's a blessing to me, and I so much do appreciate that. Now, on a little bit of a different note, if you will, you may have to pardon my glistening. Miles comes up and he'll say, "Mr. Tilly's hot again. He's glistening on the top of my head." I start sweating, and he reminds me, "You're glistening again," him and Marshall. So if I start glistening, just pardon me. Okay, pardon me. I'm not quite used to this heat. People talk about the humidity in North Carolina and all of that. I'm telling you one thing, it's nothing to the heat compared in Austin, Texas. I can tell you that because, buddy, it's hot. It is hot. So if you see me glistening, just ignore it. And a lot of times the light will shine off of it, and it'll go right into your eyes, so you cannot fall asleep on me. You can't fall asleep because it'll wake you up when it starts shining off of my glistening head. But we have enjoyed our time here. We really have. And we always love coming back. And, you know, it's why we do this is just to, number one, follow what God's told us to do, glorify Him. And it's such a blessing to see young people saved. And we had 4 salvations this week, and it just makes it all, gives you enough to get to the next station, next church, next preaching. And so and no matter how many days the VBS is, whether it's 1, 3, or 5, it just wears you out. It just wears you out. So I've got, one or two more this summer. And they all run together for me. So I've got 1 or 2 more VBSs, and I know 1 in Wyoming's 4 days. And so that's going to be fun. And so we look forward to it, though. Love to minister to kids. All right, Psalm chapter number 18, if you will. Psalm chapter number 18, if you will, when you find your place, if you would stand to your feet. We'll read just a few scriptures here. And we're going to break this scripture down tonight. We're going to look at 3 to 4 verses, and we're going to take this verse, and we are just going to break it down because God tells us so much in these verses. Psalm chapter 18, verse number 1 says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Looking down in verse number 6, he says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Boy, when you read verse 6, if that don't want to make you pray to God, I don't know what will. Because David said, "I cried and he heard." And so if he'll do it for David, he'll do it for us. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Father, we come to you once again, thanking you for your blessings, thanking you for what you did this week. So Lord, as we look at what David said, Lord, tonight, just describing you in so many ways, we're going to look at that, Lord, and I pray that we'll just open our hearts and maybe look back at some of the things in our lives and how you ministered to us or showed us and done things for us in the same ways that you did to David. So, Lord, I pray that you will have your will and way during this time. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated for standing. as we look at this portion of Scripture, and when you read, there's an actual inscription at the top. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And he said, and he goes into verse number 1. And as David is writing this, clearly this is a psalm of victory for David, a song of rejoicing as he praised the Lord for the blessings upon his life. David, you read about the life of David, and I won't go into that, but he endured a lot during his lifetime. There was many long and difficult battles, long journeys since Samuel had anointed him over the king, anointed him king of Israel. And now, at this point, he could rest in the Lord. And I know that David's difficulties and struggles are different than what we face today. He endured many different things, but you know what? We still have struggles, and we still have those times. We still have those trials. But even though during those times, during those struggles and trials, God is still good. God is still God. No matter what we face in the trials and those things in our life, God's still God, and He's still good all the time. And so when we look at this, I want to look through what David wrote here and how he describes the Lord that we serve. And as I remember, as I said Sunday, many times we separate the God of the New Testament and the Old Testament, and even today during our time, hey, it is the same God. And if God will treat and be all of these things to David, when we look back upon our Christian lives, I bet you we can see a lot of the same things that as God was to David, God is to us. And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to break this down. We're going to look at these verses. We're going to be really heavy on verse number 2. We're going to look at those things that David wrote and said that God was to him. And so I want you to notice with me, number 1, in verse number 1, the Lord is our desire. The Lord is our desire. Verse number 1 says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And I want you to notice, see, David, he had spent long years on the run facing difficult danger and great difficulty. And during these days, he learned a couple of things about the Lord. And the first thing he learned is God is our love. God is our love. David certainly had developed a love for the Lord, and this was much more than just a casual love. This was much more than just a general appreciation for God. David passionately loved the Lord. And this love speaks of loving deeply, having a tender affection for. And it gives the idea of a mother's love for her child. Listen, I love all four of my girls. I just can't explain to you how much I love them. But there is something about a mother's love for her child. I can't touch it. I don't know. It is just that special kind of love. And that's what David is saying. He's saying that's the kind of love that he has for God. That's what he's saying. It's that deep, loving affection for. And I want you to think about this. I know that we are appreciative of the Lord's blessings many times in our lives, and we're thankful and that we love the Lord, but is it the love that it ought to be? Do we love the Lord like we ought to love Him? And so, you know, David learned that God is our love, but I want you to secondly notice with me, God is our life. He is our life. And he says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." See, David confesses that the Lord is his strength. God provided his ability and motivation for living. He afforded David the strength and wisdom with which to stand and endure those trials of life. And in David is in essence declaring that apart from God, he surely would have perished. The Lord was his source of strength and a source of his life. I read about a young man, a young boy, 10 years old, and he was involved in an auto accident, and he lost his left arm. And so he wanted to do something, so he decided that he wanted to give judo a try. And so his parents was against it to begin with, and I could understand why, but he kept on and kept on and kept on, and they finally let him start taking lessons, starts training with a sensei. And so he began that, and as they were training, after the first couple of months, the sensei was only teaching him one move. And so he finally went to the sensei and he said, "You know, we've been training a while. Should I not be learning more than one move?" And the sensei said, "This is the only move that you'll ever need to know." And so, not saying anything, not questioning anything, he kept on training with him. And a couple of months later, they went to their first tournament. And so this young man who's been training, only had a right arm, he won his first two matches fairly easily. Then he came to the third match, and at that point it was a little bit more difficult. Competitions were getting a little stiffer. And so after that third one, he eventually won and he found himself in the finals. And as they were going up and they were getting ready to have the match, he noticed that his opponent was much bigger, much stronger, much more experienced. And so as they began the match, you could tell that he was pretty much overmatched. So much, in fact, that the referee said, he stopped the match for just a little while and went to his sensei and said, "Are you sure that he needs to be in this and all that?" So his sensei said, just let him finish. And so after the match ensued back, it wasn't long before his opponent made a mistake and he used his move and he pinned him and he won the tournament. And so after the tournament, they were on the way home. And he said, "Sensei," you know, they were talking about the matches, and he said, "How did I win that one match? Or how did I win the tournament with just that one move?" And he said, "You won for two reasons." He said, "You've mastered one of the most difficult moves in judo." And he said, "The second thing is the only known defense to that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm." So his greatest weakness was actually his greatest strength. Because God tells us that when we are at our weakest, we're actually at our strongest. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, verses 9 and 10. He said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in," say it with me, "weakness." In our weakness. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake." He says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Why is that? Because many times when we get at our weakest, we just give it all to the strongest one. We give it all to God. When we are at our lowest point, when we don't think we can do anything else, that's when you become your strongest, when you give it to God. And He can handle it. He can handle it. And that's what David is saying here, is He can handle those things. And see, He is the source and the means of our existence. Were it not for His presence in our lives, we surely would perish too.
That's right.
And so we notice here David, he learned that the Lord was his desire. And he's our desire as well. Secondly, I want you to notice with me, the Lord is our defense. He is our defense. Look in verse number 2. And this is where we're going to focus most of this evening at, because there's so much in this verse. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. So the Lord is our defense. In the first two verses, David uses the personal possessive pronoun of my. And did you know that pronoun is the first one kids learn to use? My toy, my room, my clothes. That's the first one they normally learn, is they know what their stuff is. And so that's what David is doing here. When they say that's mine, they're saying, in a childish way, they know what's theirs. And so what David is doing here, using these pronouns, my, he's expressing simple childlike faith in his relationship with the Lord. Simple childlike faith. He is telling us that he's totally dependent upon the Lord for everything. Every ounce of strength comes from the Lord. And you know what? When you see 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10, I love this verse because Paul says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. And you know what? We can say the same thing. We're only what we are by the grace God has given to us. And that's what Paul says. And he goes on and he says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And you know what? You think about that. What can we do without him? Well, John 15:5 tells us, he says, I'm the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And here it is. He just answers this question for us. For without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. But what can we do with him? And this has to be with him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. So we can't do anything without him. But man, we can do many things with him. But it's through his strength. And so when we get to our weakest, we're actually our strongest when we rely on him. We give it to him. Many times we try to handle things ourselves. We just simply need to give it to God. We need to give it to God. So here in this verse, David is reminded of the safety and security that he has in the Lord. And he goes into great detail describing that the Lord has been and continues to be in his life. And as we go through this, I want you to put in your mind, okay, I want you to think back. As we go through each one of these, I want you to think back, and I think you could probably think somewhere in your life where this is what God's been in your life. There's been a situation where God has shown himself in the ways that David had seen him. Okay, so I want you to notice with me, first of all, he is our stay. And so David describes him in verse number 2 as my rock. He said, the Lord is my rock. And this rock, it speaks of a cliff, one that is high and lofty. And so you can imagine when David was led of the Lord up to that high cliff or rock that jutted out over that valley where he could see those enemies below, God had led him up to that rock. And it provided escape for David. And so we have many seasons of difficulty and hardship in times we really don't understand all that is going on or makes sense. But it is in those times that God will lead us to that rock if we'll just follow Him there. He'll lead us to that rock that's high and lofty where we may not understand what's going on, but we simply rely in faith to let God handle those things. And so He'll lead you to that rock. And I'm telling you what, He's led me to that rock I don't know how many times in my life. And I think back as I study for this message, I think back of the many times that He's led me. All He wants me to do is follow Him in a childlike faith. And He'll lead us to that rock of safety, high above what we really don't understand. And see what peace is found upon that rock. Moses says in Deuteronomy 32:4, and you realize at the end of Moses' life, and you look at all that he's been through, and then he's writing this, and he says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. You study the life of Moses, and you realize this was written at the end of Moses' life, and he could say this about God. You know what? We can say the same thing about God in our lives. Same thing. Just and right is He. So He's our stay. And secondly, I want you to notice in verse number 2, He is our stronghold. He is our stronghold. David says He's my fortress. So David described the Lord as his fortress, literally a stronghold or fortress. And no doubt there was many times in David's life when the enemy was approaching and he found refuge in the Lord. God stood in defense of David and protected him. In that word fortress, what it talks about, it has the idea of a net, particularly as catching prey. And that may seem just a bit unusual, but consider the fact that God has cast His net about His children. He has cast His net about us. He protects us, and we may not even know it. See, we are held within the steadfastness of His care, surrounded by His power and His grace. And He surely is our stronghold in times of trouble. He is our stronghold in times of trouble. Thirdly, I want you to notice with me in verse number 2, He is our Savior. He is our Savior. And David describes Him as we read on down as my deliverer. My deliverer. And David speaks here of one who saves, rescues, and delivers from danger. And you know, when you think about this, I'm certain that his mind went back to the many times when it seemed that defeat was coming. Maybe even death was coming for David, but the Lord delivered him out of that danger. And see, he rejoiced in the God of his salvation, in the Lord who was mighty to save. And you know what? We too can rejoice in our Savior and our deliverer. He has delivered us from the condemnation and the wrath of God for our sins. He has set us free. We have the blessing of walking with the Lord. No longer bound by the shackles of sin and shame, He continues to deliver us, and He will deliver us till our faith ends in sight in heaven. What we were singing about a little earlier, we're going to be walking on those streets of gold. When our faith ends, He'll deliver us. So I want you to notice with me also, He is our sovereign. He is our sovereign, and David writes here, He's my God. He's my God. And I like this one because David here, he speaks of that personal relationship that he has with the Almighty. And you know what? We have that same personal relationship with the Almighty God who's created everything. The God of the universe, we have that personal relationship with Him if you're saved. David came to know Him on a personal level when his world appeared to be spinning out of control. He looked back, he could look back and rely on the one who's in charge of all things. He had that personal relationship. And so we don't need to fear demise or failure. We're serving the Almighty, the great I Am. Life may get hard and hard to bear at times, and it does. But you know what? We're secure in the Lord. We are secure in Him. And so I like what David says here. This is about this personal relationship. See, he's still seated on the throne, and he will never change. God cannot change. And so all the promises, what David is saying about God here, is we can say the exact same things in our lives. But I also want you to notice in verse number 2, as we read on, he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God." And then he says, "My strength." And he is our strength. And see, David back here in verse number 1, he spoke of strength, but this word has just a little bit different meaning. Here, the word strength refers to an unmovable rock or a cliff. David was secure in the one that was unmovable. He had a firm foundation that would never move or shake. See, even if the world around him would seem to be falling apart, crumbling at his feet, the Lord was unmovable. Anybody remember the cartoons of Roadrunner and Coyote? I'm aging myself here. I'm telling you what my age is. I ain't telling you, watch those cartoons and man, that Roadrunner, it didn't make any difference what that coyote did. That he would stand on one of those cliffs and that coyote would put that dynamite out there and everything would blow up except what the Roadrunner was standing on. Everything else would fall apart. And he would stand on that little rock in the middle of the sky and nothing else was around. And you know, this is what I'm thinking here. Is that in this, we have that unmovable rock, and when we rest on God as that unmovable rock, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. We are secure on that unmovable rock. And that's what David is telling us. We are secure in God. We can stand on that rock. Nothing's going to happen to that. And if we stand upon that, if we allow God to guide us and show us and just go to Him, man, we've got that unmovable rock we can stand and rely on. We have that rock. And so as we continue on here, we also notice, he says, He's our strength, but then he says, He in whom I will trust. See, God is our satisfaction. He is our satisfaction, and David describes it, in whom I will trust. See, David had learned that God would never leave him nor forsake him. He had never found the Lord to be lacking in His power and His provision. Can we say the same thing tonight? Amen, we can. Because we'll never find God's power to be lacking. It's many times that we don't rely on that power when things don't go like we want them to. But God's power will never be lacking. It is guaranteed. And so David found that. Is that he can trust in Him. In whom I will trust. And so when many had turned their backs upon God. But God never turned His back on him. And all those uncertainties that David faced, God was always there and could always be trusted. And so when the storms and battles come our way, it seems like everybody's forsaken us and turned against you. And all those things, just simply turn to God and rely on that unmovable rock. Because we can trust in Him. I was reading the autobiography of Rodney Gypsy Smith. Now, he lived in 1860 to 1947. And he was born in a tent on a gypsy camp. And so he was raised there, and he never attended school, not even for a day. Yet he influenced the lives of millions of people for God through his powerful preaching. And so he was an evangelist and he preached all over the world, but particularly in Britain and in America. And so when evangelists or when Gypsy got saved, an elderly gentleman explained to him the importance of trusting Christ alone. Gypsy Smith said this. He said, "I cannot trust myself, for I am nothing. I cannot trust in what I have, for I have nothing. And I cannot trust in what I know, for I know nothing. The only thing I can trust in is the Lord Jesus Christ." And we can say the same thing as Gypsy Smith. We can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you trusting in? David is describing God in all these different ways. And we can say the same things in our lives. But we must trust in Him. And so as we go on in verse number 2, He is our shield. Let's continue on. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." And then He describes Him as my buckler. He is our shield. See, He described Him as a shield. That's what that word means, buckler, a shield. And so when the enemy was advancing and it seemed that he would never survive, God intervened on his behalf and shielded him from the hurt and danger. In those times when our flesh was weak and inadequate, God proved mighty on the behalf of David. And you know how many times that we don't know about that the Lord's been our shield? Pastor Matthew and I, we were going down the road the other day, and we have something in common. We taught the kids about murmuring, about complaining the first day. And one of those things I have to admit I murmur about is traffic. I don't like traffic. I don't care to go through traffic. And I have to admit, I murmur. And I have to ask the Lord to forgive me. I do. Because we get in these big cities like Austin and the traffic here and Atlanta and all these big cities, and traffic is just crazy. And we, from our trip from North Carolina to Texas, we base everything on what time we go through Atlanta. Everything's based on that. But many times I get stuck in the traffic we're sitting in traffic for a while. Sierra and I were coming from Montana, and we rattled away, and we were on our almost home, and we were in West Virginia going into Virginia. And there, as you go from on 77 from West Virginia down into Virginia, and look, you go through some tunnels. And one of these tunnels from West Virginia to Virginia, they were bringing it together into one lane. And this was on a Friday. In rush hour traffic, I had no clue. We sat there 2.5 hours, maybe. And you know what? Sierra, did I murmur? I murmured. I did. I admit it. I did ask the Lord to forgive me. But you know what? In those times, how many times in those traffic backups, and I'm just using this as an example, has the Lord kept us from being in an accident? And I think about that, and I just have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know what's ahead. And how many times in your life, how many times in our life, in my life, that the Lord has been our shield and our buckler when maybe something may not be the best for us here on earth, that's not the best. But see, God sees ahead of us. He knows what's happening in the future. And you know what? If we really realize whatever God does is always best for us, no matter what that is, it's always best. And you know, we need to realize that as David here, as he's describing what God is to him, he's so many times that God defended David, and David probably didn't even know it. How many times can we say that tonight? That God is our shield, and He protects us. And many times, that's like we were talking about, I don't like traffic. But you know what? There's been many times that we've been held up or in traffic or whatever, and we'll go down the road and we'll see a traffic accident. So Lord, I'm sorry. That's why You held us up. Maybe we would be right beside that when that happened. I don't know. And so God is our shield. Even in times we may not be thinking that God is working, God is our shield. He is our buckler. And that's what David is saying. So let's go on just a little bit further. He says, He's my buckler. And then he says, and the horn of my salvation. And that's what he's saying. He is our salvation. When you think about this, David reveals that he has no fear while he trusts the Lord. The horn speaks of strength, power, and conquest. He may suffer defeat while living this life, but he is certain of the security in the Lord. And so we rest in the blessed assurance of having eternal security in our salvation. That's what he's saying. We may lose everything on this earth, but we'll never lose our salvation. We are secure in Him. And then finally, in verse number 2, he says, my high tower. He is our source. He is our source. When you think about this, David concluded his thoughts of God acknowledging that God alone is his high tower. And what, as we read this, no doubt David was mindful of the many towers that were built around Jerusalem, those high towers in the great cities of that day. And it was from those towers that the soldiers defended the cities. They had that great vantage point of the enemy coming in to try to siege. And it was in those towers that with the supplies and the provisions were kept in case of the siege. Those were filled with those things. And you know what? I'm reminded that God is all that I need while traveling along this road. And He is all that you need in traveling all of this road. He will provide those things. And I can lean upon Him and find all that I need in His abundant supply. And so I want you to skip down to verse number 6 real quick with me. And then we'll go back up to verse 3. Because in verse number 6, as I want you to notice, he says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried upon my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. So the Lord is our what? He is our de-stressor. I had to have the D to go with the outline. But what did he say? In His distress. And so in our distresses, in our trials and our anxieties, what does God want us to do? He simply wants us to call upon Him. That's what David did. He said, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. So David said, in all that distress, in all my distress, I can say, I simply called upon Him. Hey, when things are just going crazy in your life, everything's hitting at one time, all the stress that you go through, all of those things, why don't we take the advice of David and say, hang on just a minute. Why don't we call upon our Lord? Because He listens to us. And then let's look back up in verse number 3 and we'll end on this. The Lord is our delight. The Lord is our delight. In verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. As we look upon this, we've reached a point to where David, he described his Lord, all that the Lord was in his life. And David says, hold on just a minute. Hold on. As I wrote verse 2 and I realized all that God has been in my life, I need to pause for just a minute and simply praise Him. That's what he said. And I can see David doing this when he's penning this letter or this psalm, and he's writing all of this stuff. He says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Not only did he know that in verse number 2, in verse number 3, he says, my Lord is worthy to be praised. And you know what? Not only for this week, but in your own life, isn't God worthy to be praised?
Amen.
He's worthy to be praised in our life. You don't have to just do it at church. You can do it at home. But God, who is the same thing in our lives as He was to David's life, He's simply worthy to be praised. That's what David said. He was David's song and delight. So as you look at your life, as you go throughout your day, and you realize that the same God that David described in his life is the same God that works in yours and in my life. And sometimes when we see that God is all those things, we just need to stop, like David, and praise Him. Just simply praise Him. And you can do that at any time. Let's bow our heads in prayer.